Today's program was brought to you by Whole Foods Market. For more information, visit wholefoodsmarket.com.
Burning down the house on Heritage Radio Network. Give me some truth. I'm Curtis B. Wayne. Today, we want to talk about the state of architectural education and an alternative. I want to speak with Katie Pervines Busich. Are you there, Katie?
I am. Good afternoon. How are you doing, Curtis?
Oh, absolutely. 5x5. Thank you very much. And thank you for joining us. And also, and Katie's been a guest on, at least three episodes already, and also our very good brother and friend, Matt Arnold. Are you there?
5x5, Curtis.
All right, Katie. Matt. Matt is an architect who has extensively studied what happens after you go to architecture school, and Katie is in that illustrious and wonderful group of Harvard dropouts. You're in there with Bill Gates, and I don't know, did the Facebook guy drop out from Harvard, or did he grad? I don't remember.
Zuckerberg. He dropped out. I'm not sure.
Yeah. All right. Well, here are the topics that we want to talk about. One, what's wrong with architecture school? Two, what's wrong with the current state of American post-secondary education in terms of cost? Three, what can we do about it? Four, what are our aspirations? And then, you know, because this is Burning Down the House and we talk about whatever comes up, we will talk about it. Joe, let's have our first little break.
Market, we review each and every product that hits our shelves. Our cleaning products are no exception. Our EcoScale ranking system rates each household cleaner so you know what you're getting. Now, during Earth Month and any time of the year, learn more at WholeFoodsMarket.com.
Oh, yeah. That was just a dream. Architectural religion of the Erster Year. Katie.
Curtis.
Without getting into naming names, you were a graduate student of architecture, and you found it unsatisfactory, which led you on your current path.
That's right.
Yeah. What do you feel that people need to learn, and what do you feel that you weren't learning when you were in a really highly placed, top-ranked graduate school of architectural design?
You know, what I wanted to learn is I wanted to learn how to build. I wanted to learn what makes one space a really fantastic space to be in and another space a really ridiculous space that makes you, you know, that has poor psychological effects on you. I wanted to learn about architecture that was a specific response to its own microclimate.
Wow.
But instead, I learned a lot about different software programs.
Uh-huh.
I was there for a year. We had one field trip at the very end where we visited a building, and we visited this particular building because it was LEED accredited. So we learned about the different facets of that building that made it LEED accredited.
Right.
And
United States Green Building Council's Leadership in Energy and Environmental Design, which is a very nice.
It's a start.
It's a good start. I'm going to be, I'm not supposed to say this, but it's true. I'm going to be at USGBC headquarters looking at their secret data in July. It's really kind of cool. Yeah. I haven't signed the non-disclosure agreement yet, but I'm going to be able to look at how things are really working out. I'm really kind of excited. It's all terribly hush-hush, but that it is hush-hush.
Well, don't tell anybody on the radio then.
No, it's kind of funny that it's all hush-hush, which kind of is the point of why Henry Gifford sued them. And I talked with Henry back in, 2009.
Almost, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, almost 3 years ago. But Katie, you know, you should listen to previous episodes where I talked with Wilfred Wang, the architect from Germany, the Chinese-German architect, because he talked a little bit about the psychometrics of space. And we'll get back to that whenever I can possibly get Wilfred to come back and talk here in studio. If you can't be here in person, I definitely will rope you in. Now, Matt Arnold, brother man, you there?
I'm here.
All right, speak up. You sound kind of faint.
I want to hear Katie talk. I want her to tell us about her plans and what she's done already.
Well, tell us a little bit about the research that you've done, and then we'll dive into the depths.
It's been a while now, but a few years ago I did a study. I got the data from three states, the only states in the country that could give it to me, that had it, regarding the duration of internship. And it turns out it's about 12 years from graduation to licensure for those who do it.
Now, for those of you...
The numbers are true.
Right.
Only about a third of those who graduate become licensed.
Well,
so,
what, So for the people who are not in the field, civilians, as I like to call them, internship means after you have a professional degree and before you are allowed to sit for the architect's license exam, right?
Well, they've started to change the rules about when you can take the test, but basically you've got a minimum of 3 years experience in certain areas, and then you have to pass a test that consists of 7 divisions that test your knowledge and theoretically qualifications to be a licensed architect.
Right, if you pass the license exam.
Yeah.
Right. And so,
and, based on my conclusion, if it takes 5 years to get through school, which it really takes about 6 or 7, but anyway, if it takes 5 years to get through school and it takes another 12 of internship, we're talking about a process that's taking 20 years.
Okay.
And
yes,
that is not the process they advertise, and I frankly think it's not acceptable.
Well, Matt, thank you very much. You've just blown your total wad.
Yeah. if you want to talk about that, the system that we have in place has completely and utterly failed. How about that?
Yeah. Matt, if you could lay out, I want to get back to Katie just for a moment. As I understand it, Katie, your interest was mostly not the theory, but the reality of building.
That's exactly right. I wanted to get dirty and actually build something and learn not just how to build, not just the technical skill of building, if you will, but you know, why is one space a great space and why is another space a poor space? And I wanted to learn that and then actually build it. I didn't want to sit in front of a computer all day long learning software.
Right. And it was also costing you a lot of money.
It was extraordinarily expensive. I doubled my student loan debt in that 1 year I was at Harvard.
And previously, you had been where?
Before that, I was at the University of Idaho. And before that, I did a couple of years at Franklin Pierce College, which was a private school in New Hampshire. So I love school. And before I discovered my love for architecture, before that, I did a microbiology degree. And I had also taken some classes in advertising before that. So basically, I did about 6 years of college just because I loved college so much. And all of that was about the equivalent in cost of 1 year of Harvard. And that's with a very nice scholarship at Harvard as well. Some of my classmates at Harvard just recently graduated about a week or so ago. And I saw the commencement pictures on Facebook. And I just realized all of a sudden, wow, by dropping out, I saved myself $90,000 of additional debt.
Oh, yeah, but hey, you know, architecture is such a high-paying job, you'd make that back in 6 months, right?
Oh, sure, right? That's the story.
Well, actually, no. I've been licensed since 1979, and I'm lucky to have a job, and my current salary is $100,000.
Thanks.
Yeah, isn't that great? And Matt has been licensed since when?
83, 85.
Yeah, we're talking about 30 years instead of 3 years. And Matt's making quarter.
I'm delighted.
He's delighted to have a job. Yes.
I got a job making 75, and I'm thrilled.
Yes. So the argument in favor of an alternative path to be able to, if you are so inclined to want to make at the very basic level habitation, would be not school but an unschool, because money really is a boundary between. I mean, if you don't have the money to invest in a degree and be able to wait it out, but you really want to be able to have some training to be able to take care of other people's basic needs, which is habitation, then there must be an alternative. Joe, can we have the next little break?
pain, you're okay. Money, it's a gas. Grab that cash with both hands and make a stash.
Money. I'm Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne with Katie Previance Busich and Matt Arnold talking about the Unschool of Architecture, which does not require a great amount of money to undertake in order to become a designer of residential structures. Is that not correct?
That is true. There are a number of courses live right now, and there are a number of others in development, and I'm working with many other people who are also developing courses, and yeah, it's very affordable.
First off, give us a URL for your school.
Yes, it's unschoolofarchitecture.org.
UNCHAHOOL of, and so forth? It's all spelled out?
That's right.
Speak up.
Oh, yes, it's all one word. unschoolofarchitecture.org.
Okay. And it's learning. It's distant learning. Just like the aforesaid Harvard and MIT are making available.
Yes.
Right. But you have a particular bent. Just houses.
Yes. I'm not so much interested in commercial structures or parking lots or hotels or anything like that. I'm primarily interested in homes, residential architecture.
Oh, good. Well, nobody. No, I think nobody's going to be designing parking structures anymore. Are you still driving, Katie?
Do I still drive? As much as I used to.
Oh, good.
I used to live in Los Angeles, where you have to drive, and I now live in a national park in the state of Washington, where my life is much better than it was in L.A. That's for sure.
All right. I know that Matt lives way out in the country, so he's still gotta drive. Sorry about that, man. You know.
I love it. I love to drive.
Well, you're a man of the 20th century. Didn't you listen to last week's program? You know, Kunstler, James Howard Kunstler, and you know the sickness of suburbia. No,
I didn't. I missed it, Curtis.
Oh man, you know,
it's a good show.
I was at the mall.
Oh, you gotta give up your affection for the Cold Stone Creamery, man. They are not ever going to be a sponsor here. Anyway, so Katie, tell us about your different programs, how it's different from going to a straight program, and what your real interests are. And at the end, I want to talk about how you're going to integrate hands-on education. Go for it.
All right. Well, I have a number of courses right now. I have a drawing course, a drafting course. I have a couple of courses in a series called the Architect Project, where I have a couple of architects where the students would look closely at their plans and learn kind of inch by inch, like what makes this architect special, what makes these plans create this space. And that goes back to my desire to not just know the technical skill behind designing or the technical skill behind building, but how do you actually become on the inside an architect who is able to produce these spaces. So I have a couple of courses along those lines. I have a course for people who would like to become building contractors, so they're sample exams, so you can pass that licensure exam. I have another class about developing design intuition, so that goes back again to my desire for that inner transformation, like how do you how do you really become an architect? So that's what I have so far, and I have a number of other courses in development. I've also had a number of different architecture professors from around the world contact me on LinkedIn, you know, congratulating me on, you know, putting something out there that's an alternative to architecture school and saying that they would like to contribute. And I am certainly welcoming contributions so that there could be a number of different classes out there for different people. The way that Unschool is chiefly different is that it's on your own schedule. You don't have to wait until January or September to start taking classes. You don't have to take the GRE. You don't have to get your letters of recommendation. You don't have to pay an $80 application fee to start. You don't have to write a statement of purpose to start. There's no administrative fees. You don't have to move or sell your stuff or get a new apartment. You can just start taking classes right now. And another big difference is that once you're a registered student of a course, you have lifetime access to your lessons and your courses. So if you go to any other architecture school or any other school at all, once that class is over, it's over, right? But with the Unschool of Architecture, if you wanted to revisit a lesson, or if something changes in your life and you have a new insight and you'd like to match that against what you learned in one of the courses, you can keep coming back to it time and time again.
Matt, what do you think about this format? Do you think that's sufficient to train a designer?
Well, I don't know, but I do know that the revolutionary idea that Katie's providing is you get the content without credentials, and by doing that she's able to save you two orders of magnitude of money. So in terms of the value proposition of this, if you're interested in the subject, this is a fabulous way to get facility in it. If you want credentials, you'll have to do something else. But if you just want to know what is what, this is a great way to do it. I'm really excited about her idea. And I've got some ideas of my own to contribute to it. And I just can't wait to see how this works out. I think as time goes by, more and more people are going to be interested in being able to perform rather than being able to provide a resume. And this is a way to do it.
Okay. I just want to throw my two cents in here on the, on the side of caution. If you suppose, Katie, that your course cuts out all of the humanities aspects of accredited school, which at the master's level, actually, you don't have all that much of anyway.
No, you don't.
At the baccalaureate level, about a quarter of the credits are humanities and art history and other things like that. At the master's level, probably a third of your credits are bullshit courses like scripting and so-called theory,
yes.
Which makes it even worse. And therein lies my own unhappiness with people who have a master's only in architecture, because you never know what they got in terms of humanities as an undergrad. And as a graduate student, they got about a quarter less education in pure architecture than people who got a B.Arch. So, if you compare your intended course of studies to a B.Arch, I would say that you've got probably at least 30 more courses to add before you really have someone who's a residential designer, because a residential designer, I think, should know mechanical systems and...
Hey, Curtis.
All the environmental stuff. Yes, Matt.
Yeah, you're completely right about that.
Yes.
But the colleges of architecture have about 60 more courses to add if they're going to teach somebody how to become an architect.
Oh, you know that, Matt. I'm so glad you brought that up.
Okay.
I'm so glad that you brought that up, because about 10 days ago at work, I was working with a colleague who has a master's in architecture and a bachelor's in a BSE in architecture from MIT. And this person had not been taught anything about mechanical, electrical, or plumbing systems, and yet had been granted both of these degrees. And I have to say, I got a little bit offensive. It's like, I can't believe that they let you have a degree without having MEP classes. And this person said, well, you don't really have a real master's degree because it only lasted 1 year. And it's like, okay, thanks. All right. But I got advanced training. Whereas this person didn't get basic training. Okay, so what, Kay, is your, you know, what is your core curriculum going to be looking forward?
Well, first I want to say you're right. There do need to be more classes added. I have about 20 others that you don't see up on the screen that are in development. And then I do have the invite out there to other people in the field who would like to contribute courses. You can contact me.
You haven't asked me.
I'm asking you right now.
Yeah, but there might be a conflict of interest. I mean, after all, you've been on four times now.
Yeah, four times.
Yeah, I know. Right. Out of 100, this is episode 105 of Burning Down the House. Joe, let's have another little break.
As soon as you're born, they make you feel small by giving you no time instead of it all. Till the pain is so big you feel nothing at all. A working class hero is something to be. A working class hero is something to be. They hurt you at home and they hit you at school.
Working with your hands, Katie, I think it's the next piece that we haven't talked about.
Yes, that's the next thing I wanted
here
to say.
Here on Burning Down the House with...
I'm still developing the logistics for the Verb School, which was the original idea for an alternative architecture school where it's all hands-on. So
right,
I was trying to figure out a way to...
That's episode 32 you were on talking about Verb School. That was a long time ago. Wow.
That was a long time ago.
Yes.
So I'm still working out. There's a lot of a lot more logistics involved in that than there is in Unschool. So I'm still working on that. And I've had a number of people contact me asking if Unschool was Verb. But no, it's two separate things. Unschool is all online, and it's for the development of certain technical skills and certain to develop the ideas within yourself about what it means to be an architect and how to design good space. Verb is still in development, and I'm hoping to be able to accept applicants for that soon.
So,
and I will, of course, let you know when we get to that.
Well, so going back to your earlier idea, a Verb School was a totally working-class hero sort of paradigm of going from site to site, learning how to build in various regional... I hate to use the word paradigms or types.
Biomes, different biomes. How about that?
If they were biological, that's fine. Whereas Unschool is distance learning, and I suppose sometime in the future you merge them and it becomes the Unverb School or something like that. You know,
something like that. Yeah, I do see them in the future coming together. It's just there's so much development involved in both that right now it's. Think of Unschool as paving the way for Verb.
But Unschool is all distance learning, and Verb is all on the ground, your hands in the dirt kind of stuff, right?
That's right.
Right. So right now, Unschool is not going to have any of the hands in the dirt.
Some of the assignments will have students have their hands in the dirt kind of on their own in their own communities, learning about things and then reporting back to the site, whereas Verb is more communal, where all the students will be together.
But I want to go back to something that you just briefly like flitted through. You said that something about learning to be architects. You know, that's a really hot spot for me. Just because someone has training doesn't mean that they're an architect.
Agreed.
All right. Okay. Maybe there's another word that we need to invent. Matt, what do you feel about that?
I think that because of the different changes that are coming in the economy, there's going to be a lot of invention going on.
So, if people who, like you and I, Matt, who have spent a lot of money and taken a really onerous course to become architects or licensed or registered architects, do we want to create something new? I mean, do we want to like step it up to say we're master architects and other people are just architects? Or are we professional architects and everybody else could be just... I mean...
I think that Katie's looking at this in a completely different way than that, Curtis. You're stuck in a paradigm of licensure and credentialing and...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Paperwork approval. So
Yep. It's true. Go ahead.
It's about people who want to know how to do it. Right now, there's no place to learn this stuff except to stumble through this crazy labyrinth we've built for architects. There's a big need for it. Everywhere I go, I see design builders building houses, and the houses look like crap because they don't know how to design. Because, you know what? Nobody's teaching them how to design. This is a different approach. It's saying, let's try something new.
Good point.
If 100 people do what Katie's doing, maybe 6 of them will succeed, and things will be better. But if nobody ever tries, we'll never know.
Well said.
I think she's just trying to serve the market. She's saying, what I wanted, I couldn't get unless I paid a mint for it and then got 90% of content that had no value to me. I'm not alone. A lot of people are like this. Maybe they would be interested in this. So she's putting it out there, and I think it's fantastic.
Katie?
I think
there's a huge market for it.
Katie and Matt, go for it. No.
Well, you know, I've noticed there seems to be a sentiment among some licensed architects where they say, well, I had to go through all this stuff that I hated, and I had to pay all these fees and deal with all this bureaucracy, and so should everybody else. And that kind of, I mean, I understand that to a certain degree, but in another sense, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. It's almost like if you were abused as a child, do you believe that all other children should be abused too? That's my take on that. And I kind of want to get away from the bureaucracy and the labyrinth process, like how Matt called it, and just look at the very fundamentals of it. Like, what do people want to learn how to do who are interested in architecture? They want to learn how to design, and they want to learn how to build. And there's so much red tape that separates someone with that desire and that aptitude from actually being able to do that. I mean, does a person need to spend, 20 years on average and get into that kind of debt before they can build their own house?
I mean, here's the point I make, Curtis. Instead of assuming the status quo needs to be argued against, how about assuming the opposite? Because it certainly is demonstrating its inability to do the job. It's extremely inefficient to educate 9 people for every single architect that you create. That's ridiculous. Don't ever have an 18-year-old son. So the defense needs to be made by the people who want what is to say what is. Not what for the people who want to change it. Did he go away? Sounds like he did, Katie.
I don't know. I hear a lot of background noise.
What?
There you are.
I'm letting you guys talk.
Okay.
It was your time.
We were doing it.
Here's my and I have this same argument with Duo Dickinson, of whom you both know.
Yes.
Duo is one of the founders of the Congress of Residential Architecture, which is comprised of architects and builders and other people who are interested in just building houses. And I have real qualms about fracturing the world of architecture into designers of humongous skyscrapers and designers of malls and designers of residences. I would like a Congress of Architecture that involved everybody. A Congress of the Built Environment. COBE, I suppose. Duo's a little squirrely when I propose that. I think it's great, Katie, that you're starting small and not supposing that your school is going to be accredited and people are going to come out with only, oh, I don't know, $2,000 of debt and be able to sit for the architect's registration exam. And I suppose that the powers that are rather vocal among the accredited schools, even if you were able to do that, would make big trouble for you.
But I don't think Katie's saying you're going to be eligible to sit for the ARE.
No, right.
Katie's saying you'll know how to put a house together.
Right.
Right.
Well, and a house
be
is good.
Nicely designed.
Now, right, looking forward, I would hope that your courses teach people how to deal in the analog world. Because if you believe in the futurology that Jim Kunstler last week laid out for us, when oil runs out or it becomes unaffordable.
In 372 years?
No, he thinks it's sooner than that, actually.
You ought to read the paper.
You got to read what Kunstler has said, and you got to listen to his stuff, Matt. He thinks it's going to happen sooner rather than later. It doesn't matter, really. I think it doesn't matter whether oil runs out or not. I think that we should suppose that oil has already run out and get back to analog instruction. And I would hope that your students, Katie, will be taught how to design for wind and seismic loads using analog computational tools. I'm not supposing that you have to teach them how to use slide rules, because there'll be a lot of calculators around for, you know, at least 50 years after the factory shut down. But I mean, not advanced computer techniques for calculating this stuff, but knowing the actual basics of structure. I think that
we are completely on the same page there. I completely agree with you. It's fundamental to understand the fundamentals, if you will, of these types of computations. If all you know how to do is run the computer program that figures this out for you, I mean, probably a monkey could be trained to do that.
Oh, I don't know. Probably.
Well, Curtis, what computer program do you suppose the Romans used to design the aqueduct?
Exactly. People have been building for hundreds of thousands of years or tens of thousands or a long time before computers ever made it onto the scene. And I would say that a lot of this other architecture is a lot more beautiful and useful than some of the stuff that's come out in the past 20 years.
Yes.
Well, fortunately, that stuff won't last more than another 20 years.
You're right.
So there's a good side to it.
Well, friends, titanium has got a really long life cycle.
Yeah.
And
it'll be great for salvage.
Yes, it will. Yes, it will. All right. So, Katie, going forward, what's your goal for having the unschool, like, totally fully formed? And what about Verb and its on-site hands in the dirt aspects? 5 years, 10 years, 8 years, 2 years, 3 years?
I'm hoping Verb will be accepting and enrolling its first students within 2 years. As for Unschool, I'm developing more content every day, and people are more than welcome to contribute courses and contribute course ideas. I'm on LinkedIn. My name is Katie Previance, and if you reach out and try to be my friend on LinkedIn, I will approve you, and you can be my friend, and you can tell me all about your idea, and I will help you bring it to market and help you get paid for your courses.
Oh, cool.
That you contribute.
Spell your last name, please.
It's Previance, that's P as in Paul, U R, V as in Victor, I A, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie, E as in Edward.
All right.
Katie is spelled K-A-T-Y.
And where can we find Verb School?
Verb School right now is just verbschool.com.
Okay.
So there's, yes, right now on verbschool.com, it's mostly my manifesto, if you will, for the need for such a school.
Okay. And
so that is still in development, and Unschool is completely up and running.
And what's the URL for that?
For Unschool is unschoolofarchitecture.org.
All right. Well, Matt, do you have any last words?
I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that if Katie's project doesn't succeed, it's not because it didn't get the best shot it could ever have.
All right. Well, everybody wants to change the world. Let's hope that you do.
Thank you. I hope so.
This has been Burning Down the House. I'm Curtis B. Wayne. Thank you for listening. Keep the faith.
Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.